pastures back there. Before they ever came back, he says, "We can't find the horses." And all they had to do is turn their head and look the other direction.
Oh, Lord. Sit down, let me get you on drink. And you know what? I got some of that good salad.
Oh, you're good salad?
Yeah, man.
Good what?
Salad that you can't make? Or can't
I
make.
Couldn't eat a bite.
You couldn't?
Oh.
No.
No, not right now.
Well, that's why I can. How about a glass of tea?
No.
How about a glass of water?
Uh-uh. Well, Miss Mary, in all this heat, you're not thirsty?
No.
Don't care for them.
Aren't you perspiring?
Mm-hmm.
All right, Claire. Oh, I bet you Suzanne wants a glass of water. But she always does.
I'm always drinking out of the hoses, out of bottles in out there, and ice, everything else.
See those coats?
I saw them. They cute. Look like twins. You should have seen what they were doing. They had their heads together. Yes, and eyes half closed. They nod. Just like that. Just right next to each other.
Well, I've been out back and forth all morning. It's warm out there.
It is.
Did you get any rain over at your house?
When?
Yesterday.
No.
Well, we saw the blackest cloud over your way.
Mm-hmm. And hit rain down at Williston. It rains at Micanopy, but it don't rain at my house.
Why do you think that?
I don't know.
You mean?
That's what everybody says. I reckon I don't pay the preacher enough.
That must be it. Getting his good graces, and he'll get you some rain over there. Mm-hmm. Is that the same preacher? You all got the same preacher?
No, ma'am.
You haven't?
No, ma'am. You know, we didn't know anything about it. And Mrs. Jim Hope went to Orlando, and she had our preacher moved and had one of her friends put up there.
Well, how can that be?
That's what I want to know. How can that be? Because she's got plenty of money. And she don't even belong to the church. And you know, Marvin and I, we just quit going.
She doesn't even belong to the church?
Don't even belong to the church.
Well, good evening.
Good evening. Have you had dinner? We haven't.
No, you couldn't guess what I've been doing.
You went and took a bath.
I washed my feet. But I really was soaking my poor foot. I broke my big toe yesterday, kicking a cat.
Well, that learns you to keep your foot to yourself.
I swear, every time I kick a cow, I won't do it again. I always suffer. Oh,
well, I tell you what, do this. Let us take it and cut it off.
We'll take both of them off. Well, just the one. I kick with my left foot most of the time.
You need a bigger pair of galoshes on that foot. That way you got more room.
Yeah, I even kicked my galosh off.
What do you do for a broken toe?
I never had one.
You don't go around kicking your calves.
Mm-mm.
But it ain't
Let me see your old toe.
It ain't as bad as it was, but it's way up there, ain't it?
I think you ought to take it off.
Are pretty looking anyway, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I do have trouble. That is an awful little heifer. You know, her mama's nervous, but it's the first time her mama has had a nervous calf. And you know, I couldn't put her in the corral the other day. I couldn't cut her out. You know how a cow will do. They'll get that head up and just swim right into the rest of them and get them all upset. But now, she's just 3 or 4 months old, and she learned that trick. They're born with it, aren't they?
That's right.
I couldn't hardly cut her out, much less get her in the corral, in the cage.
You know what she did last night? She sailed right over the back of another calf, just like she was an antelope.
Yeah.
You had any like that?
Yeah. I had one that we backed the truck up to the chute, the loader, and she just come right on over the cab and jumped on the hood of the car and went right on out in the woods.
I think they couldn't do that.
Huh?
Anybody might think they couldn't do that.
They can do that. Come right over the top of the car and went right on out in the woods.
Yeah.
I got one up there in the field now that we got her out of the woods, you know, and she was wild, couldn't do nothing with her. And I carried her up there and she said, it's a pretty thing. And I told Marvin, I said, let's keep her. And she had a calf the other day, and that's the sorriest looking thing I've ever seen.
Oh, they do that.
And she's just a big, fine cow. And I said, well, she's bound to have a nice calf. But it was the sorriest thing. I told Marvin, I said, let's don't look at it. Go on back to the house. I don't know what in the world makes it so sorry. He said that it would come out. But I don't know.
I've had people tell me that if they start sorry, they'll end sorry. But I found out different. They just like children. They just, sometimes they don't start growing.
Mm-hmm.
Till they get ready to grow.
Well, we sure got two sorry ones there in the field.
And good mamas.
Good mamas.
Yeah. Yeah, it just makes you wonder
who your papa was.
Yeah, but he ain't the papa in the papa in the field is not the papa of them calves that don't bleed. Now, he might be. We put him in there last winter.
Well, she could have gone visiting.
No, she couldn't have got out of the field.
Oh.
She might have went visiting before we put her in there.
You know, the vet was out here, one of those young vets was out here, and he was doing something to one of my cows, and the cow, you know how they all fling that head?
Mm-hmm.
And if that hit you, it'll knock you out.
Yeah.
And it almost knocked him out. He had his head down there, wasn't supposed to be there. You know, a lot of them young fellas, they got a lot to learn. They don't have to put the head down there at the cow, they can put the hip or something like that. Yeah, just about knocking out. Have you all ever had been knocked out? Do you all ever have trouble like that?
Mm-hmm. But then we know better than put our head down where they can knock us out. Because they'll sure do it. Now that bull that I bought me a black Angus bull, and he's so gentle. And he likes to come up and drink water out of the hose.
No.
Yes, he does. And, he come up and I was holding the water hose out there, you know, and he was drinking water out of the water hose. And I just reached my hand through the fence, you know, and was rubbing his old head.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't offer to fight me, but as he said, he just kind of put his head up and he throwed my arm against a barbed wire and stuck that barbed wire all the way into my arm and then tore it out. I did, you know, trying
yeah.
to... And it kind of scared me. It made me awfully sick at the stomach. But I learned to keep my hand off of his head. Now, he don't fight, but they'll just make a move, and they can hurt you.
Well, much blood as you've seen, I don't know why you'd get sick of the stomach.
Well, it just made me sick. It didn't hurt my arm, but it made my belly hurt.
I've seen people like that. They are awful queasy when it comes to blood.
Mm-hmm.
Who is that, Faye? There's somebody I see every now and then that's like that.
Yeah.
They just can't stand it.
Yeah, we got a friend, Jack Long, just keels over.
Yeah.
Well, you know, whenever I get sick enough at my stomach, you know, when I get hurt, you know, I know to go somewhere and lie down because I'm about to fall.
Oh.
I'll faint.
From that?
Mm-hmm. I hurt my finger one day, and Mr. Guthrie was saddling up the horse to go on the lake cow hunting. And I hurt my hand, and it didn't hurt my hand a bit, but my stomach sure did hurt. And I run to the back door, and I told him, wait just a few minutes before he went. And he come in there, and I had busted my finger open. And that's the last I remember him coming in. But when I come to, he had been dragging me in the other room. He was going to put me to bed. He said he thought that I'd kill myself. But I didn't do nothing but just pass out for a few minutes.
Yeah. Well, what do you do? What do you do when somebody passes out like that?
Just put some water in the face. Wash the face with some cool water, something like that.
And they'll come too?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that funny?
That's right. Well, now, you know, people come out to a place like this, or your place, and they just play around. And you know it's dangerous. They can hurt themselves more ways out here.
I know it.
And I just look for some of them. I'm the only one that's got hurt out here. I knock myself out all the time. If I didn't wear that, that's the reason I wear that. I knock myself out all the time.
Well, yeah. Winder fell on my hand one night and like to cut three of my fingers off. It didn't hurt my hand, but oh, I was sick at the stomach.
Well, I believe that hurt mine.
I mean, I was sick at my stomach.
Well, now, Mr. Guthrie, you said Sam Turner and him went out cow hunting.
Oh, yeah, they used to cow hunt all the time together.
Get on the horses.
Mm-hmm. See, it was open range, and both of them had cows on the lake.
Yeah. Well, now they know where it was.
Oh, yeah.
Well, what did they do when they hunted them?
Well, they just rode around and looked at the cows and seen if they were getting along all right.
Oh,
and they had a bad time during screw worm season, you know. They had to keep up with the cows that had calves. And then when they went to gather them up to butcher, why, they would ride together.
Uh-huh. Was he Mr. Guthrie's age?
No, Mr. Sam Turner was older than Mr. Guthrie, a few years.
Well, that, could Mr. Guthrie rope the camel?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yes, ma'am.
And they were wild, weren't they?
No, they weren't wild. Some of them was, mm-hmm. but not all of them. But people didn't feed the cows then like they do now. We didn't know what it was to throw a bale of hay or set out a pan of feed to a cow. We had good range. And Mr. Guthrie used to butcher the whole winter long.
I was thinking about that yesterday when we was over to your house. Looked out there and there's all grazing, but there wasn't much to graze.
That's right.
Now, in the range, the weather didn't affect it much.
That's right. They turpentined the woods and they burnt the woods every year. And they had good pasture. Didn't know what it was to. Why, people would think you was crazy to get out and feed a cow.
Well, that's hard to believe.
It's hard to believe, but it's so.
Yeah, but now these little old pastures, you see, if it don't rain, they just dry up.
That's right. And the woods, you know, they put turpentine in the woods and they planted pine trees. And they killed out all the big stuff. And all that underbrush just growed up to you. Just ain't got no more woods pasture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's hard to believe. You run by there and you think, well, that'd be nice out there for the cows. There ain't nothing there for them to eat.
And they, these old game wardens, they get on the lake and they spray the lake and they kill out the stuff.
Oh.
Them hyacinths, you know, is good cow feed.
Oh.
Cows get fat on them things.
They need some hyacinths. They don't have any growth out there in the lake at all.
Oh, they have some, but not near as much as they ought to have.
Well, I was thinking about the spraying.
They're always out there spraying and they're messing stuff up.
Yes.
Mess up the woods.
Mm-hmm.
Then mess up the lake too.
That's right. And we used to pen cows. Mr. Guthrie, I seen Mr. Guthrie go on the lake by himself, and I bet you he'd bring back 50 or 7,500 head of cows. He'd get after him, you know. He'd go and they had cow whips, and they'd pop the cow whip, and they'd holler, and the cows would bunch up, and he'd bring the cows home. We pen cows, and we didn't buy no fertilizer to plant a garden or plant corn. Or sweet potatoes or anything like that. We had plenty of cows and we penned them. And we fertilized our ground. And we milked cows. And we had plenty of milk and plenty of butter and didn't even feed them a mouthful. They got their food out of the woods.
And that was a good range at that time.
That was a good range. You see, they could go on the lake and feed. Well, a cow don't use the same range every day.
Well, now that's it about that pasture.
Yeah.
They got to eat the same thing every day.
Our cows will go down the River Styx down there, and you'll see them feeding maybe like today. Well, they move. They go somewhere else. They won't eat on the same ground every day. Well, when the cows them days, when they were on the lake, they could move over and go over on Sam Turner's side, see? Go over there into Piney Woods and graze. Well, when they got through that, they could come back to the lake. And that old highway weren't by home then, and the woods weren't fenced in. Well, they could move over on the Loch Lucy side. And they had plenty of woods, and they didn't need no feed.
That's right. I didn't realize that they could move around so much.
They did. A cow just sure don't feed on the same ground every day.
Yeah.
And we put them in a pasture and leave them there.
That's right.
That's right.
And cows really need woods, and they need burnt woods.
Burnt woods.
Burnt woods. They need to go in there and get them ashes.
The ashes?
Yeah. Yes, ma'am. You get with some old cattle owner and talk to him. Somebody like Arch Jackson. Isn't that his name?
Love it.
I can tell you. Get some of these old timers.
How about Billy Hughes?
Well, now, Billy Hughes is not so old. I don't know where Billy Hughes remembers that or not.
Oh.
But I imagine he could tell you about when we had open range.
He'd go back that far. He don't
imagine.
Have to go back so far with that, ever.
Things have sure changed from what it used to be.
Yeah.
Mr. Guthrie'd have quite a job then, find those cows if they move around so much, wouldn't
no.
he?
No.
Wouldn't you like to hear him holler?
Yeah, I used to just love, and you could, maybe Curtis Turner would be all for cow hunting. And you could hear him popping his whip on the lake and hollering.
Oh, yeah. And that sound would carry out there.
Mm-hmm. I got Mr. Guthrie found Mr. Guthrie's old cow whip the other day. And it hadn't got any handle on it. And I got it and put it up and told Marvin I want to get somebody to make me a handle.
Yeah.
And put it back on that calf whip, and I'm going to use it.
I want to see that.
What you going to do with it?
I'll just carry it around, you know, to the pen with me. And just push the cows around.
Yeah. How long a handle is it?
Oh, you need a little handle about like that.
Yeah.
It's a plaited cow whip.
Yeah.
Leather cow whip. If I don't make no mistake, I know he had one made, and I think he had it made in Rayford. We carried a load of cow hides up there to Rayford, and I had me some rugs made, and he had him a cow whip made, and he had a whole lot of leather tanned. He always kept a bunch of leather on the hand, you know.
Mm-hmm.
To redo his saddle.
Oh.
Yeah.
Like if he had a stirrup or something, you know, that come off. Or, well, people didn't go to town and buy everything that they needed.
Yeah.
And had to have. They had to make a lot of things and repair a lot of things.
So he took some of them overall cow hides down there. No, he cured them out.
No, he took them and they dressed them.
They done the dressing.
Mm-hmm.
So he just had them salted down.
I don't think he even salted them.
Just took them off the cow.
Just took them off of the cows and carried them up there. Saved them, you know.
Yeah.
He might have salted them, I don't remember, but anyway. They tanned them, dressed them, and tanned them.
Well, the leather wouldn't necessarily have to be salted. Would it spoil?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's got to be salted and sort of cured out before
that's right.
you can...
Pack them down in a barrel, you know, just like kind of like pickling fish or something like that. You know how people used to salt mullet by the barrel?
Oh, did they do that?
Yeah, we used to bomb by the barrels.
What?
Yes, ma'am.
So did.
You could order them.
By the barrel?
Yeah.
You take them and split them open and you don't scale them. Take the insides out and you put a layer of mullet, layer of salt, layer of mullet, layer of salt. And you talking about something good, but they were good now.
And they'd stay good for a long time.
Yeah, they would. They sure would.
And you all have ordered it by the barrel?
Yes, sir. Sure do.
By the barrel.
Now, would that be in the wintertime?
Anytime you want them.
They keep in the summer the same?
Yes, ma'am.
And you just take them out and wash them off?
That's right. You take them and you scale them and you wash them. And they'd be so salted that we'd soak them overnight, you know. But you talking about something good, but they were good. I like salted mullet.
I'd like to try some. I haven't.
They're
I
good. They sure are.
You had a lot more outhouses than you had now. Have now. Smokehouse and all.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. People didn't carry their meat to the cold storage. They cured it their own self.
Mm-hmm. And you had plenty of space out there to store.
Yeah, we used to kill a beef and we would salt it just like pork.
Yeah.
And hang it up and smoke it. And you're talking about something good, it'd be just as hard as brick. But you're talking about something good, that was good meat.
Yeah.
and the meat would be just as hard?
Yes, ma'am, when you got it cured. If you don't believe it, it's expensive, go to town and buy some shit beef.
Yeah.
And you ate it hard, too?
Well, it wasn't so hard, you know, when you put it on and cooked it. Mm-hmm. The way I'd cook it, I'd chip it up real fine,
yeah,
put it in a frying pan, and put a little water on it and steam it. And I made the best gravy.
Makes my mouth water.
Yeah.
You could put onions in it if you wanted to.
Oh, I can just taste it.
It was real good.
You know, one reason she has to stay at home, can't go off and stay a week at a time. She's talked that she couldn't eat the food. Couldn't stand it.
You mean people wouldn't want to feed you? I eat smoke.
Well, you get used to those little lunches like we had. I guess you wouldn't want to go away anyplace.
Anybody who had food like that.
I'd like to go to the up there where I eat in town every now and then with her. She wouldn't go back again, would she?
No.
Yeah.
Imagine that. Chip it off and put onions in it and
just steam it. You could eat it raw if you wanted to. I've eaten many a hunk of it raw.
Raw?
It's cured. Have you ever ate any raw bacon?
Uh-uh.
Well, I have. I used to just love it. I cured me 2 middlings of meat. And the way I done it, you know, you can't put it out like you used to. But I got me 2 fresh middlings of meat and put it down in my crisper. And I salted it good and covered it up good. I left him there. And every once in a while, maybe 2 or 3 days, I'd go and pull the water off of it, you know. Put me some more salt on it. And I cured it, and it was just as pretty as it could be. I cooked some of it one day, and I said, Marvin, you know that meat is just delicious. And I said, I want you to try some. And it was really good. Now, I'm telling you. And Ella Mae and Christine was over there last week, and I said, I want y'all to try some. I got some cured meat I cured. It's salt bacon. And I fried up a bunch of it, and they said it was the best they'd ever eat.
I hope you didn't fry it all up.
Yeah. It's all gone now.
Oh,
so, Curtis, he had a hog butchered, and the Saturday morning he called me and Marvin up, was fixing to go to town, and he wanted us to go by, and Marvin cut up his hog. So he gave me a piece. And I got it salted down.
Now?
Yes, sir.
In the crisper?
Yes, sir. I'm going to cure it.
Well, Miss Mary, I'm going to stick around your house.
Will that be good like the other?
I hope it will. I just hope it will.
Well, you just...
But it sure was good. I'm telling you, that was some meat.
Save a sampler, too.
Yeah.
You know, the best meat, just as good a meat as I ever had, was this side meat, cut pretty thick, you know, with a rind on and cooked brittle.
Mm-hmm.
That's got more taste to it than this high-priced breakfast bacon.
Well, sure it is. I told Marvin, I said, I want you to buy me 2 middlings of fresh, good, big middlings, and I will cure it like I did that. But that was really good. You would have thought that it would have soured and rotted, but it didn't.
That salt
cured it.
And drained it.
Yes.
But it wasn't much trouble. Just had to look at it now and then.
That's right. Just look at it and pour the water off of it and just add a little bit more salt. You would have thought it would have been so salty you couldn't eat it, but it weren't. And then when I got it cured, I took it, you know, to the sink and I put it in some good soapy water and I washed it good and rinsed it and dried it off and put it back in there. Yeah, that was the best meat.
Yeah.
Middling.
I can tell Curtis, you know, I get him down a lot of times and tell him things. Grandma, you know them well, that ain't so. You know that ain't so, but it is.
Well, now, this other Curtis that you was talking about, Sam Turner's boy,
mm-hmm.
His name was Curtis?
His name was Curtis.
Now, he was grown when he died.
Yeah.
But he just died young.
Mm-hmm. He's about 25.
And he learned to do everything, all them things like his daddy.
Mr. Guthrie said he was the best cow hand that he ever seen in his life.
Is that right?
He said that he was the best.
And they was living over there in that white house in the woods.
That's right. I spent a million night over there with them.
Was he about your age?
Who, Curtis? No, Curtis was older than I was.
Yeah.
But I used to go over there and stay with his... Well, his mother took me. I had a bad spell of sickness, and she took me over there and kept me over there with her. So I wouldn't be at home by myself. Mrs. Sam Turner.
That's right. Because Mr. Guthrie would have to be out all
over
the
place.
That's
right.
Now that neighbor's worth having.
It sure is.
So you knew that place?
The Sam Turner place? Yeah. And Curtis used to come in, and I was so sick, and he'd say, well, don't worry, you might live to 3 weeks long.
Need a lot of help.
You might live to 3 weeks longer.
Did you throw something at him?
You know, like that old house ain't standing tall now.
The people went over there and tore it down and carried it off.
The whole shebang.
The whole shebang.
You know, I haven't paid much attention to the old houses in this part of the world. There ain't many of them left.
There sure isn't.
If you go out and look for them, you wouldn't find them. Now, you take the townhouses, they were different. Now, you take over there in, where Alvin's Baptist Church is.
Yeah, Windsor.
Windsor. Now, all them houses, they're different from the house out in the woods.
Mm-hmm.
Aren't they?
That's right. Then there were houses at Windsor, they old-timey. They tell me, I heard Mr. Guthrie tell it and the other people, that Windsor used to be a flourishing town.
Yes.
Northern people come down there.
Yeah.
And then their houses belong to the northern people. And they had big orange groves.
Yeah.
And the big trees come and kill the orange groves, and the northern people left.
Yeah. Yeah. And that part didn't develop.
That's right.
Your thing.
They said it was a really flourishing town one time.
Yeah. Well,
there's a house over near my brother's. It's not very old. It's been put up there in the last 3 or 4 years. There's an old fella, I used to know him when I was a kid. He was very peculiar. And maybe Marvin told y'all about this.
Mm-mm.
But my dad used to send us over there to his place. I remember he sent my brother and I over there after some pea seed one time. And we was scared of him. We was wondering what he was going to do to us if he don't kill us when we got there. But anyway, he wandered off and he was gone for years and years, and he finally wandered back. And he built him a block house over there close to my brother.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a round block house, not no window in it at all. But you know, he taken his blocks ever so often and he placed three. And he said the reason why he done that, the Russians was going to take the United States. And when they did, he was going to poke his gun barrels out at that window and he was going to shoot them. He was going to kill them.
Is that right?
That's right.
Now you're telling that's the truth.
That's the truth, Marvin. I seen the place, and Marvin was over there the other not too long ago, and went over to a place to buy me some sweet potatoes. People had sweet potatoes for sale, and I got me a bushel of sweet potatoes, and Cord said, I'm going to show you something. So he carried him over there and showed him this house.
That's not long ago.
Not long ago, and the man's name was Wilder.
And
he's got them blocks, you know, that's got holes in them. Got three placed just like this, you know.
I know.
And he said when the Russians invaded the United States, he's going to get in there and he's going to poke his gun barrels out through them holes and he's going to kill them.
What do you know?
Now you know there's something wrong with his mind.
How long has that been there?
Oh, it's been there 3 or 4 years,
yeah.
Or something like that.
Yeah. Where'd your brother live?
He lives over there between Old Town and Brantford.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You never had a brother live around here anyway?
Uh-uh. No. I haven't got but one brother.
Yeah. those houses. What they have around them, some rose bushes and things?
Over here at Winchester?
Like Sam Turner's house.
Oh, they had all kind of flowers.
Just like they did anywhere else in town. You had them cannas there. They've been there a long time, haven't they?
Who?
Over at your house, them cannas.
Those red cannas at the back of the house?
No, they haven't been there very long.
Oh, haven't they?
They just have.
Not too long.
Yeah, they're awful big.
They haven't been there. I bought them, oh, not too long ago.
And you just bought them and set them out?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Well, now, when I'd grown up, we didn't do that. Somebody always give you a little start on things. We had a yard full of stuff, and I don't think we ever bought anything. You know, maybe order a rose bush or two from the in the spring of the year, something like that, when the catalogs was there. In the winter, when the catalogs come in.
I don't have no luck with roses. I don't know if there's something wrong with them that they just don't do right.
Yeah.
What's the best luck you have with flowers, with shrubs over there?
I really don't know. I have such poor luck with all of them.
Well, I don't know about that.
Seems like my Alpheus does better.
I guess. You know, we don't have an Alpheus on this place.
Who was it you said gave you that crepe myrtle tree?
It was Mr. Guthrie's first wife's daddy.
Oh.
He used to run a florist, and he gave me them what?
That pretty white one that's blooming now?
Mm-hmm.
That is pretty.
That's Grandpa Christmas.
Well, it's been there sometime.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Guthrie's first wife, Daddy.
How long has he been there?
Been there a long, long time. I keep it cut down.
Oh.
That's why it blooms like it does.
Mm-hmm. I got one on the back and it don't bloom because I don't mess with it.
That's why these ought to be cut back every year.
Oh, they get too big.
Uh-huh. They sure... They need cutting back.
Oh, those nice, full. I saw them, noticed them yesterday. When was over there? Yesterday? When the moon thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're nice, full, white, blossom.
Miss Mary, those little low flowers there at your steps, you know.
Them periwinkles?
Periwinkles. I call them four o'clock. Periwinkles is the name. They'll just grow anywhere, won't they?
That's right.
They'll come back next year?
Sure will.
Did you have to plant them?
The way I got them started, he brought them from the university. Right there where he works.
Uh-huh.
You know, that's nice out there. Have a, yeah.
You get a lot of things, don't you?
Well, now, there's a right, I saw some butterflies working on a little bush. They wasn't a periwinkle. It was just a little bitty bush, just had several of those little butterflies on it.
It looked like a little peas on them that were blooming. What's that little vine?
Now, where was that?
Right there at the steps.
It wasn't that wild bush. It was that mulberry bush, wasn't it?
No.
No, it's just a little bitty bush.
Oh, that's the bleeding heart, I imagine.
Bleeding heart.
Bleeding heart. That's what it is.
You noticed all them butterflies on it? They just had a big time. Did Marvin bring that from university?
Oh, no. That's been there for years.
Just comes back?
It comes back.
That's the way to have them.
That's
me.
It.
Now, what, the chickens harm that?
Not a bit. They don't mess with it.
Well, what harm do the chickens do?
Oh, they just scratch. That's everything.
Well, they don't bother the periwinkle.
No, them periwinkles is too hardy for them.
Yeah. Well, what do they bother?
Oh, they get around my azaleas and they scratch up the leaves and the fertilizer that I put to them.
Well, they harm the azaleas?
Mm-hmm.
They fertilize a little themselves, though, don't they?
The azaleas?
Mm-hmm.
No, ma'am. Whenever they do a dropping, they do it somewhere else.
That's uncooperative chickens.
I want to know something, Guy. What, out there in the chicken yard that you know, one that you had, those great big green things up on those stalks with those big leaves. What are they?
You don't know what they are?
No.
Well, they old-fashioned pomacrystal.
Still don't know what it is. Old-fashioned what?
Pomacrystal.
Now, don't they come out with a great big bell-like plant that smells gourdy?
Mm-hmm.
Or am I wrong about that?
And you know over on the other place where we got our pasture?
Yeah.
There wasn't a one over there. And we've been using it for years. And Marvin got over there and broke it up and they come up. And I went over there and I found them and I said, well, here is me some pomacrystals. And I pulled them up and carried them home. And they say that if you have them things growing on your place, you don't have no mites and you don't have no jigger fleas and no chicken lice.
That's why we see them in chicken yards.
That's it.
God.
Well, I've been down. I never thought
and
of that.
And they have a great big old, make a great big old burry looking seed. It's not sticky, but it looks like it is. Something like a, you know what a kookaburra is?
Mm-hmm.
And they say when them things gets ripe and they drop down, you can take them, and you see where a ground mower run. They say, put him in there, and he gets him, and he's dead.
I never heard, I didn't know that.
That's what they say. My grandmother used to have them just as thick as regular forest. They grow up tall, you know, and they make a shade for your chickens.
Yes.
And she used to gather them and go around and put them down where them ground mowers run, and they just a dead ground mower.
They'll grow up in the summer where you need a little shade for the chickens,
mm-hmm.
and then in the winter they die down.
I think they're pretty.
I do too. That's the reason I ask about them. And in my mind, I remember some other chicken yards that had them.
When they bloom, they haven't bloomed yet.
No, they haven't bloomed yet. They bloom later on.
Big blooms?
Mm-hmm. No, you wouldn't notice the blooms. It's, but they have these here big pods of seed right up in the top.
Yeah.
And as well as I remember, it's
that.
Been so long since I seen them that they kind of look like a velvet bean.
Oh. Yeah.
And you haven't had these before.
No, I haven't had them
before.
That's
why I hadn't seen them.
But now why, now has them seed been in that ground all these many years?
Yeah.
And they didn't know one come up.
It's just Bahia grass.
Till Marvin went over there and turned over the field and then they come up.
That Bahia grass.
Where the old house used to be.
Oh.
There.
Well, maybe they're left over from an old chicken yard.
Maybe so.
Oh, yeah.
That's what it is.
But I don't see how in the world anything could lie in the ground that long.
Yeah.
And then come up. But they did.
Yeah.
Now these, in your chicken yard, yeah.
They're the ones you brought over.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Well, that'd be handy thing to have.
And people used to take them when they had the fever and take the leaves and bind them on their head. And they said it would cool their fever. That's right. I've seen my grandmother a lot of times go out and get them and put them on people's head for the headache and the fever.
Yeah.
Just lay them on your forehead.
Dampen them?
No, just lay them on
there. They're already damp.
Mm-hmm.
They're already green.
Well, I don't know why we all don't have some of them.
I don't either. But you know, I haven't seen any of them things for years. Since my grandmother had grown them.
Yeah.
But she had plenty of them on her yard.
Well now, you don't get out and work your flowers like you used to, but now you didn't used to have any trouble making them grow.
Oh yes, I've always had trouble with flowers. I'm not gonna fool up with any more.
Yeah.
It's a lot of work and a lot of trouble, and then I have to lug them in and out of doors and all through the winter.
Yeah. Marvin's not a flower man.
No, he go and set out something, take the lawnmower and go cut it up. No weeds.
Well, now you got them set out there on the side of the yard there. You got them set in little blocks there where he can get the lawnmower between them.
Hmm. Joe Smith brought me some little cedar trees, and I made Marvin get out and set them out, and he cut every one of them up, I think, but about three or four.
I noticed it yesterday. I don't know why I noticed it yesterday when I pulled up and pulled out. One of those nice little cedar trees that I remember out there, right out there at the front,
is dead.
Just dead.
It just died.
And it was pretty the last time I saw it.
Mm-hmm.
It was a good sized tree. Oh, those nice little cedar trees. I think the cedar trees down here are nice, and they grow fast. You know, up where I come from, they're slow as growing.
Well, you know that it used to be the same way here. If you set out a cedar tree when you was a young one, well, when you got grown, it wasn't always near grown. But it's different now.
Really?
Seem like they just grow faster or something.
I was doing kind.
I believe people gets grown faster than they used to.
Yeah.
Think they do?
Yeah. You take a 14-year-old girl used to when I was coming up, she wouldn't think about courting. And a woman never did get married. You say when Aunt Nora got married? Aunt Nora was about 25 years old when she got married. And then that was soon enough. Them days. That's right.
I think they like to see them marry off pretty young now.
Yeah, and you know when a woman gets 30, Well, her baby days is over. She's through having young'uns.
Yeah. That's right. That's right.
It sure is.
They don't have any more young'uns around the house then, do they?
They sure don't.
No.
Why, Miss Mary over this dance at Newberry. Mr. Cook was over there, and he said there are little kids out there, not more than 9 and 10, just dancing up a storm.
Yeah.
Just
is that right?
Big as life, just dancing up a storm. Mm-hmm. One little girl came over to him and wanted him to dance with her.
Yeah.
That's right.
You didn't know Ms. Boyle that owned this place.
No, I just knowed of her.
Well, now she...
Now, Mr. Guthrie knew him.
She grew everything, mm-hmm. You know, at one time. She had this business, and people would come from all over to buy stuff from her. Azaleas and camellias is what I associate with her. Now, when we come here, the side of the hill down there was just one hole after another where she dug them up.
Hmm.
And right out there by one of those old trees, she had a whole bed of camellias. And she gave them to Ms. Van Arnum, the reason I remember. And there must have been 50 nice size little camellias inside that lamp that she took over there. They had a good start, and they're all there. She had things. Oh, she grew things.
Yeah, they were those fancy kinds. Those different kinds.
Yeah, all kinds.
It looks like she'd have left them here on the place.
Well, she was in the business, you know. She sold. She didn't have many when she left, because, you know, Mr. Boyles was on that bed in there for 2 years. Couldn't move, hardly. And that's why they had this ramp, you know. And put him in a wheelchair. And I guess he'd pretty well run out by that time.
Well, for a long time after we were here, people would come up,
yeah,
thinking she was still here,
yeah,
wanting certain things. And all along the fence, there were things that were blooming that I didn't know what they were.
Yeah.
When we first came. Miss Mary, I want to know, when your house was built, with all that's on it now?
No, ma'am. Of course, I don't know when it was built. I don't know nothing
uh-huh.
about that.
Uh-huh.
But Mr. Guthrie, he said he started out, he was working for 10 cents a day when he was a young man, and he built two rooms.
Oh.
Those front two rooms.
That's right. Of course, they've had something done to them since.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He and his sister lived there. Then Mr. Guthrie got married. And he added the kitchen and the dining room and a big back porch onto the house and a front porch.
Well, now, the reason I asked for the first time yesterday, I looked at, before you came out, I looked up there and you could see, I thought, well, I bet that's been added on.
Mm-hmm.
You could see the...
And Min Marvin and Mr. Guthrie was taking the old ceiling out of the front room and putting that new ceiling in and Marvin ripped off the door facing, and I found the letter sticking in there.
Oh.
And it was a letter that a man had wrote Mr. Guthrie's sister. They were courting me another.
Yeah.
I can't think of that man's name, but anyway, he lived at Hawthorne. But he was a conductor on the train.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it had a 2 cent stamp on it.
Gotcha.
And you know, I put that letter somewhere. It's somewhere at the house. I wanted to save it because I thought maybe someday that I might see her two children, Ruby or Fred, and I wanted them to read,
oh, I see.
Read the letter. But I put it up somewhere, and I don't know where in the world it was at. But that letter was over 50 years old.
Oh. You wouldn't be much likely to see Ruby or Fred anymore, would you?
Not likely, not now.
What was you telling yesterday over there? You know, I got rheumatism. I can't sit long. I have to move around. My giants. That fireplace is a beautiful fireplace.
It is, Miss Mary.
But it isn't any good.
Never would draw.
No.
And he charged you this outlandish price?
Well, see, he didn't charge all that, but Mr. Guthrie and Marvin went and bought the material, and we had a nigger man. And he worked there near about a whole week, and he didn't do nothing. And I got so aggravated one day. He was inside and had a whole pile of mud and bricks and everything. And I'd put up with it about as long as I could. And I told Mr. Guthrie, I said, if you don't go around there and run that nigger off, I'm going to kill him. I said, I'm going to kill him if you don't get rid of him. Because he ain't doing anything in the world but wasting your material, making a mess, and you paying him to do it. Marvin and James and Glenn Townsend and Mr. Guthrie was all helping him.
Good Lord.
And he hadn't done a thing, hadn't even got started. And so they went around there and run him off.
So Marvin knows what happened, or he was there too.
He was there. So then we had to go to Hawthorne and hire the Fowlers.
Oh, that's it.
And they was almost as bad as the nigger was. There was three of them, Glenn Townsend, James, Mr. Guthrie, and Marvin, all working, and then Mr. Guthrie was paying them to do it, you know, when really it didn't take but two men. It don't take but two men to build a fireplace. But they were doing the work, and they were just standing up bossing, and Mr. Guthrie was having to pay them for their information. That's what I tried to tell Miss Dodd. I'm going to get him anyway. So they run him off before they even got started good.
I heard Miss Dodd talking about somebody that they hired over there at Hawthorne. And if it's the one I'm thinking of, she didn't have to run him off. He just didn't come back much.
No.
He'd get the stuff and lay it out and go off and leave it.
It was Arnold Fowler.
Was he the one who brought his children?
That's the one that carried his wife and children every day.
And she had to feed them lunch.
That's right. And that ain't all about it. She had to take care of them on the weekend, too.
On the weekend?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I never heard, that's the first I ever heard of anything like that, where a man come to Coffee, come to work, and bring his family.
But he done it. I told her about it.
She learning fast, you know. We ought to charge her. You ought to charge her for this.
I told her that,
get her to pick
but
peaches.
She won't talk to me about it because I talked to her. And I begged her, I said, go get your a contractor to come out here and build your house. I said, you can get it done just as cheap.
Some people.
She won't even talk to me about it. And Mr. Dodd is so mad with him till he can't he's just as mad as he can be about it till yet.
Yeah.
He like to got on the Arnold over there one day.
Oh, really?
Yes, sir.
Well, I'd hate to be in there.
He sure did.
Big as he is.
He liked to got on to him.
Lord help us. You know, you know Mr. Dodd?
Yeah.
You remember, you know how big he
is?
Yeah,
I saw him. He's a big one.
Why, he could give you a bad hug and you wouldn't recover sometime. If he squeezed you a little harder than supposed to.
Well, not much you can tell them, is it?
No, ma'am.
I think that's the, best, Mr. Dodd was in the hospital. And they, how'd that go for you? I forget. She was telling you yesterday morning.
And those children were tearing up the place.
That's right.
Them
and
boys.
They do it right on Johnny Towns, Dodd, get up on top of her bed with his old big feet.
And bounce.
And jump up and down. You know, I can't put up with such as that.
Well, now that little Bonnie.
Bonnie does it too.
That little girl?
Yeah.
I think she'd help keep the boys on the show.
She can't do nothing with them boys. If she was trying to do anything, Miss Dodd would beat her up about it.
Don't tell me.
Yes, sir. Don't you say nothing about
I
Johnny.
Won't.
Don't you say nothing, not a word about Johnny. Johnny don't do anything wrong. And he don't have to work. That boy's big enough to get out there and mow every bit of that pasture. And he can drive that tractor just as good as Mr. Dodd.
He's a big boy.
That boy's big enough to get out there and even cut that hay. Of course, he'd have to have help. It's true, anybody gathering hay has to have help. But that boy could get out there in that field and cut that hay and bale that hay.
And he don't do none of it?
He don't do none of it, no sir.
He don't even go to the field?
He don't even go to the field. Go in there and get in the bed just as black as old black feet and out there and look at television. Any of them asks him to do anything, he's got the headache too bad. And they carry him to the hospital.
When he complains?
Yes, sir. They carry him if they can't get a doctor at his office. They take him to the emergency room.
You know Johnny?
Yeah, I see him.
Oh, he's a big... He's going to be as big as that, isn't he?
And you know he's the whole cause of her selling her cows and going to Orlando and putting them in school?
No.
Why, Miss Mary? All the way to Orlando?
He's the whole cause of it. Running and telling her tales about the teacher didn't do this and the teacher didn't do that. And he was failing and he's the whole cause of it.
Does he study his books?
No, he don't. And Ms. Dodd can't make him study. I was over there one day and I tried to help him spell, you know. I said, Johnny, let me help you. I said, you go ahead now and then and you spell them and I'll help you get your spelling. Huh.
He didn't want any help.
He didn't want any help and he didn't get it.
I think she was Bonnie got you on the telephone one morning.
Mm-hmm.
One time.
Yeah, Ms. Dodd was in Hawthorne.
Yeah.
And Ms. Dodd told her she better have the house cleaned up when she got back. And Bonnie called me up and said, Ms. Townsend said, I can't do nothing. She said, I'm trying to clean up and said, these boys is in here messing up just as fast as I can get it cleaned up. And I said, well, Bonnie, I can't help them. Can't do anything about it, but I called Miss Dodd.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And told Miss Dodd. Miss Dodd said when she got home, she'd tend to Miss Bonnie.
To Miss Bonnie. Mm-hmm.
And I said, Miss Dodd, you ought to not do it.
Yeah.
I said, you ought to get on to them boys. And she said that Bonnie got to her that she was too sassy.
Is she sassy?
Who?
Bonnie.
Well, she tries to make them boys behave themselves.
Does she? I never heard her talk much, you know. She's always so quiet when mm-hmm. I'm over there. Oh, she really moves fast, doesn't she?
She, Bonnie is more mature and growed up than Johnny is.
Yeah.
Well, she's younger than him, isn't she?
Mm-hmm.
Well, is she next to him?
I think so.
Yeah.
Bonnie's got lots more sense than Johnny will ever have.
That's the way it looks. Yeah.
Bonnie's a smart little thing.
Well, now, you know, she is smart. These days, children don't learn like that. And she just cooks, and what all can she do?
Oh, she can just do anything. She keeps the house.
Yeah.